Welcome to Show Up and Surrender, conversations and thoughts about life, about the good things and the bad things, and everything in between, unedited, straight from my microphone to your ears. I'm Vidi, and I'm so happy that you're here. So welcome, everyone. We are, maybe sound a little bit hollow, because we're in my living room at my kitchen table, and I'm here with Marcella and with Ellie. We're all smiling, as if you could see that, but it's really nice to be here because, well, if you've been listening to the podcast before, then you probably already know both of them, but let me just introduce them really quickly, and then you can go back to the old episodes if you want to learn more about them, but basically, they're just really, really good friends, some of my best friends, actually, and Ellie lives in Sweden, but is visiting me in the Netherlands, and we came together 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Yeah. And then afterwards, Marcella and I were messaging. And then Marcella said, we should do a podcast. So can you say a little bit about what inspired that?
Yeah, well, first of all, I listened to the new episode, yeah. The last new episode. So that made me think about the podcast. And then Ellie asked me a really good question, or several good questions, the day before when we met, and I was like, we should talk more about this, because you asked me, I'm not sure how you put it, but the worst thing about being a mother, or, you know, what's hard, harder than I thought, and the best thing, and I gave answers, but I also felt, wow, maybe there is much more to the first answer than I shared. So
yeah.
Then I thought we should all talk about it because I'm a mother of 7-month-old twins.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie is pregnant.
Yes.
How many weeks?
23 today, 23. Actually.
Yes. Wow, today. We should celebrate with the podcast.
Yes. A discussion about motherhood.
Yeah. Yeah. And you are a chosen... not mother. Is that
it sounds interesting. I was wondering also how to say that, but yeah, I chose not to become a mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have several perspectives on motherhood. So
yeah, and I loved that idea. I thought it was a really interesting thing to talk about because we had such a nice lunch the other day already. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Ellie asked a lot of questions, and I was talking to Ellie this morning that she's really good at asking questions.
I thought so.
And I really like that because whenever I have conversations with you, Ellie, I always get prompted to think about things that otherwise I might have just, you know, brushed past or not even have given a second thought. And both you and your husband are really good at asking interesting questions, which leads to very interesting conversations and now podcasts.
Yeah. So. Podcast episodes, materials. It's interesting that you say that because I don't really feel that they were particularly interesting. They're just burning questions. I'm like, I need to ask this right away. Yeah. And obviously, right now, it's easier because I'm in this transition period where I have no idea what's coming and it's impossible to prepare for a transition like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's also my safety measure to ask as much as possible. And
I love that. Yeah. So maybe we should give a trigger warning before we continue, just in case, because we will be talking about motherhood. We might hit on miscarriage. And if any of that is difficult for you, then maybe this is not the right time to continue listening. And this would be a good time to maybe choose another episode. But if you are interested about our thoughts and our experiences about it, then, I don't know, feel like you pull up a chair, maybe grab a tea because we're all drinking tea, and then...
Listen along.
So you said your questions, they're just burning and they need to come out, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you said this morning.
Yeah.
So what was the biggest one? Was it like brewing before we sat down with Marcella? Or was it when we sat down, they started coming up? I'm just also curious about that.
No, beforehand. I was always like, I was already thinking, oh, I need to ask Marcella. Also because I feel like we have a similar perspective on the kind of motherhoods that we want to have for ourselves and for our kids. Or, well, in your case, kids. That's the same for me, I think. So I thought, I don't know if you always have the opportunity to ask questions. Because obviously when you ask someone, what is the best thing about being a mother and what is the most challenging thing. I mean, in the early age, I think you will have a lot of sleep deprivation. Yes. The hardest.
Yes.
But then everybody kind of reacts in a different way, I think, and depending on your situation and depending on how nervous you are about the whole experience or how comfortable you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my thinking. But beforehand, I was already thinking, okay, I'm going
to
see Marcela. This
is interesting
to yes, know. What questions do I have? And I have probably a million that I could ask. Yeah. So that's where it came from.
So your first answer about what was the hardest? I'm trying to remember.
It was the sleep deprivation.
Yes.
But combined with when the kids do not stop crying at night and I want to sleep. Only one thing on my mind. I want to sleep. Combined with the, I think it's subconscious. I can think that it's not needed to feel that way, but subconsciously I feel that I shouldn't put my sleep before caring for my babies. But actually, of course, you know, because when I think about it, I think, no, but I'm a mother. I need to take care of myself first so I can take better care of my children.
Yes.
But I think in the middle of the night when they're screaming and you have no clue what to do, then this feeling still creeps in. So that's, to me, still, even 2 days later. I think that's the hardest part.
It sounds so conflicting as well, because you have all these thoughts at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, you really want to sleep. You also really want them to feel happy.
Yeah.
So they sleep.
Yeah.
And you feel guilty for wanting to sleep.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
To, especially in the middle of the night, you know, when the brain capacity usually is a little bit less, at least for me.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Sounds like a big major error.
Yeah, it's an error. Yeah, that's the right word.
Yeah. But it's interesting because, so Pablo and I read this book. It's in French, but it's called Mothering, and it's about letting go of everything that you're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the book is Mothering, so it's specifically about mothers and being a mother. And there's a lot of talks that we hear about, oh, you should be doing this and you should be doing that and you should not do this, and there's just, it's constant, and you hear so many different things, and that's also probably what comes up in the middle of the night. Oh no, I should not be feeling like I need to sleep because I'm not supposed to be a human while I'm a mother. It's like, which is completely shocking, but at the same time, and there's, I feel like there's a lot of pressure also on having kids that sleep through the night and to be doing something about it when actually,
like, you're doing something wrong
when
they don't
when actually again they're tiny humans and
they're still learning how to be a human.
Exactly. And they don't cry because they want to annoy you.
No,
even though it
might feel like it sometimes, but they're not.
There's no ulterior motive, right? They're just trying to either get rid of tension and the impressions of the day. Or they're trying to call you and say, hey, feed me.
Or I read this morning that their brain is in, like, evolving really quickly in this few weeks or this month. I don't know how long. And I was like, imagine your brain growing a lot in a few days. Of course you will be a little bit
uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable or, you know, I can't imagine. Or whatever is growing. Yeah, of course that. I don't feel well when I'm on my period, for example. So, of course, when there's something happening to your body, you might feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and then all the new things that you learn every day. I mean, Ellie and I went into town this morning. Super nice, relaxed start of the day. And then it got busy, and we both got so overwhelmed by everything going around us, and we were just so exhausted when we just got back to the house. And that's us. Knowing what a bike is, knowing what a street is, knowing what everything around us is, and still getting overwhelmed by the complexity of it all coming together and at you.
And choosing to go there.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Not just being taken somewhere. So
yeah.
I can only imagine, if I see how exhausted we were, of course babies are going to be overwhelmed, tired, and if crying is your biggest communicator, then that's what you do, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense. But still, that doesn't make it easier to not sleep. And you get to be annoyed when you don't get to sleep, I think.
And like you said, there's so many even conflicting perspectives on how you could raise your kids. The one thing I've learned so far is there's no wrong or right way.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least if you think you found the right one for you, then a day later it might be different. So
that's also, it's
yeah.
constantly
yeah.
changing,
yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah. They are constantly changing and so are you
yeah.
as a parent.
Yeah. I think also, like what you said, a lot of people have opinions and they will gladly tell you how to do things.
Yeah.
But it's more than that. I think it's also... it's in everything. It's in the TV that you watch.
Mm.
It's in
yeah.
the books that you read. So it's even this lower level of planting seeds of how things are supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
in quote marks, that you carry with you from the
yes.
moment that you are able to understand the world around you.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you are lucky and you don't have like people telling you how to do things,
mm-hmm.
you still probably have that subconscious idea of how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's super hard to be okay with stepping away from what is supposedly perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure you have it in pregnancy as well. Before they're born, I'm sure there's
yeah.
plenty
yeah.
of people telling
yeah.
you what to do, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, the first thing that came to mind was that... so I started seeing a therapist around October time, end of October.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you both know this, but I experienced a loss. So I lost a pregnancy in the summer.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the first trimester, and so obviously that was a really traumatic, or at least for me, that was
mm-hmm.
a really traumatic experience.
Yes.
Really difficult to heal from, and obviously when I got pregnant again, that was a new challenge, because all the things that I had processed, a lot of new things were coming up. So I started seeing a therapist, and towards the end of this time around the first trimester, but I remember thinking, I'm focused on all this anxiety and I cannot connect to this little seed that is growing. So I was feeling super guilty. So I told the therapist already, and she looked at me and she was like, you're in this in-between of on your way to becoming a mother, and you're already feeling like you're not good enough, like you're not doing enough, and like you don't have your own way of being a mother. And that was so soothing for me, and then we had a whole conversation around, you know, what it means to be enough and,
mm-hmm.
and all these things. So that was very deep, like not just
yeah.
around this pregnancy, but it was clearly hitting some things that I needed to go through. And that was such a relief for her to tell me, like, already now you're feeling these things. And I mean, that's one element, and that was very specific or linked to my ability to connect with this growing human or yeah, growing, living being.
Yeah.
But then over time, obviously, you get from the outside world, oh, you should be eating this,
mm-hmm.
you should be doing this, and so on. So, yeah, that's not easy to navigate, but yeah.
How do you deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
When people tell you something that you should or shouldn't do?
I think I go back to what my midwife has said to me, for example. So I'm vegetarian / I eat very much plant-based at home,
mm-hmm.
and so my in-laws, who are from Argentina, and which is a
meat-loving country,
yes,
yes.
they've had a few comments like, oh, now that you're pregnant, you're gonna eat meat, right? And it's like, actually no, because I mean, if I want to, maybe, but actually no, because my midwife says it's completely okay, so it's completely okay, and that's it. And I really like it in Sweden also, that they focus a lot on, they really encourage you to listen to your body. And I feel like I have the advantage of having quite many years of doing that already,
mm-hmm.
without being pregnant.
Yeah,
yeah.
So but I want to say there's another side of the coin, which maybe it's because also people around me know that I've experienced a loss, so that's a bit, maybe that's different, I don't know. But I feel like there's this kind of protection around me as well, that people see, oh, she's pregnant, so we should take care of her, or we should let her rest, or like, I cannot tell you the amount of times where people are always like, no, you should rest, because,
you
know,
keep your boundaries.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And that's the other side of the coin. Like, you will have obviously people telling you what to do, but also people saying, actually, you know what? You're doing an amazing job already.
Yeah.
Without lay. So if you need to rest, just rest because
you're building
life.
A human.
Yes, exactly. And so that's really nice. And I think it balances things out.
That's good.
As well, quite a bit. And then, if it... But, I feel... I don't know if it's because I'm lucky or... I don't feel like I've received so many things. Mm. So I kind of let them
slide.
Yeah.
That's nice. Be like Teflon, right? Like just slide right
off. Maybe slide like Teflon.
Do you... Is that different in your pregnancy than before your pregnancy? On how you deal with comments from others or...
What do you mean? So being pregnant compared to not being pregnant? That's a good question. I think I'm stronger. Actually, I feel stronger being pregnant. I don't know how you felt when you were pregnant.
I tried not to make it
a leading question. Yeah.
I feel stronger. Like there's, I have a sense of, I actually wrote about it earlier this week. I think when I was about to go for a walk, I just had this idea that I needed to write about it, just on the stairs. That I feel so trusting, and like I have a sense of faith that is completely different too, and which is also amazing given the fact that I experienced loss, and I have this also understanding that life is so fragile, and so vulnerable, but I don't know, it's like, and things are so, it slides so easily. I feel so grounded, and like I have a new sense of confidence, and like nothing else matters. It's just things are going well, the baby's doing well, I'm building a life, and this is just
I'm so superhuman.
It's amazing, and I feel really, really, really lucky, and really grateful to be experiencing that. How was it when you were pregnant?
I think I experienced the same. I think we talked about it, Biddy and I, a few times actually, that in my I have a hard time keeping my own boundaries, but in my pregnancy, I got pretty good at it.
Oh, yeah.
And then my partner even said sometimes, I really like this version of you. Before I was pregnant, I was really emotional and easy to feel hurt about something or, overthink things. And in my pregnancy, I just thought, no, this is it, and this is what you get, and if you don't like it, I don't care, because I'm building two babies, bye. It was just like, kind of this feeling of whatever is outside of me is not as important as what's inside of me. So
That's so beautiful.
Yeah,
I also remember you saying many times, I don't cry about stuff anymore.
Yeah. It was cry about stuff. And I really had a hard time to adjust to that when the babies were born and I was crying again. I was like, oh, wow, these are a lot of emotions. And of course, it's extra when you give birth, because then there's these hormones coming that make it even more extreme. But even after a few months, I still feel, okay. So now I'm this crying human again.
She's back.
But still, and I think that's, you asked the question, what's the best part about motherhood? And when I gave it a second thought, I thought, that maybe that is one of the parts that makes it best to me, is that I've kept some of this keeping my own boundaries, because now I have to take care of two kids. And even if it was just one, then I would have to take care of this living thing that needs me. And it makes it easier to, choose me. Because I know I have to choose me in order to take care of them. So I guess some of it stayed with me.
I think I can imagine it's one of the easiest ways to prioritize your life, right? Mm. When you have this beautiful living being that's completely depending on you, then of course that's going to come first. Yeah. I hope. Maybe that's not for everyone. I don't know. Yeah. But what I see in you, I'm pointing because this is a podcast, Biddy. So when I look at Marcella, it's what I see, and it's how I imagine it will be with Ellie as well, because there's already so much love. I mean, there was love for the twins before they even grew beyond the blob version of, that we first saw. And there's so much love for your baby already that I can imagine, like, who gives a fuck about anything else? As long as your baby is safe and happy, then everything else will come after that.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Yeah. I don't know. I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings who might be listening who thinks I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
And please don't feel guilty because, you know, everyone has their own experience, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But that's what I love so much about seeing with you, Marcella, because it's... Yeah. But what I also really found really cool about you, and I told Ellie this already, is, and I think that's a part of that that's coming from the same thing, you do choose yourself as well, because you know how much you need to take care of yourself in order to take care of the boys, that you sent one of your best friends with your two kids to my house so you could sleep.
That's true.
Which I thought was amazing because I think that's not easy for every parent.
Yeah.
And then you were like, when she came back with the babies, I said, your babies came to my house with someone else before they came with you. And I texted you. And you said, yeah, but I feel so good because I slept, so I can really take on the night now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So I think that's also an example of you having a clear idea of what you need so that you can be there for their needs.
Yeah, and I really feel I always wanted to be a mother. And now that I am, I thought about this, and it sounds weird, but I'll try to explain. It feels like I finally found my purpose in life, which sounds so big, but I think it's true. And that's not only because now I can, you know, I have the kids I always dreamed of and I can take care of them, but how do I put this? I choose more of... to be myself. I thought I would be a mother who would kind of sacrifice herself for her kids, but I found out it's the other way around. I'm prioritizing myself for my kids, and I'm so happy that they gave me that kind of but also I chose, and I still every day I choose to do that.
That's amazing to hear.
Yeah.
I think I worry a bit about that, actually.
Yeah, I can imagine.
How, and also because I always wanted, I always knew that I wanted to be a mother, and I also have the feeling that I would be the kind of sacrificing mother, and my sisters usually, whenever I have an attitude that is a bit like mother bear, they call it, they, you know, I worry about a bit about that. Element of not looking after myself as much as I should, because I do think that if you take care of yourself, then it's so much easier to be around other people, simply not simply to take care of them, but to be with other around other people. So,
but I think judging by how you're taking care of yourself in your pregnancy, you're doing a pretty good job already, I think, because you are very mindful, I think, in what you choose to do and what you choose not to do. And every now and then you do cross your own boundaries, but you do it knowingly because it's something that you really want to do. But then you make sure that there's time again to balance it out. And I mean, I get to experience that because we, of course, do private sessions as well online when you're back home,
which is the best. Everyone who's pregnant or not pregnant, I don't care, just go have private sessions with me.
Because I did with both, and I think you were like the first pregnancy that I really followed from the beginning all the way to the end, Marcella, and that already gave me a lot that I now, it's easier for me to prepare for my sessions with Ellie as well. But I love, because I offer mostly the restorative part of your journey, because you have like the getting ready for birth. You do that with Carly, who we'll link in the description because Carly is amazing.
Yes,
and you might know her husband because you've heard him on the podcast. He's married to Stephen, and so the world is connected.
Yeah, it's a big web.
Yes, it is. But then I get to focus on the resting part with you, Ellie, and I really love how you choose to do that, that you chose to invest time and space where you have just time for yourself to rest. Because I think most people would find that super hard, and I don't know how hard it is for you to choose that, But it seems like it's a very natural choice for you to do. And I think that shows that you are prioritizing yourself now, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. I would say I'm more the other way around. So I guess a lot of people struggle to find time to rest or prioritize rest. And I would say I need sometimes a bit of a kick in the butt. So that's why I go with Carly and exercise, and because I could rest a lot.
And
I'm just a homebody. I think I like to be inside and read books and do my knitting and things like that. So no, the rest part I think is easy-ish to prioritize. It depends, obviously, in your head. You know, we live in a productivity-centered world, right?
Yes.
So it's no, it's more the other way around. But it's thank you for saying everything you said. It's
Because I think you're already doing it, so maybe not worry too much about how.
Yeah, and like you said, having practiced being aware of your body for the last, I don't know how many years, that really helps, or at least it helps me to know, okay, so where am I today? What do I need? And sometimes I don't give myself what I need because, I don't know, the kids are annoying. or I don't know, I didn't sleep enough and I don't even feel like going to bed because I'm too tired, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, sometimes I don't, but just checking in with your body is maybe the first important step.
I think that's really important, so maybe to dive into that a little bit more, because I think quite often, I say it a lot, right? Check in with yourself, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
I don't always get to say the second part of that, because yes, check in what you need, but obviously 50% of the time, you're not going to be able to give it to yourself. But just knowing what you need, I think, helps you go about the rest of your day, because then maybe you can say, okay, I need rest, I can't get it now, but then maybe take a moment to think about your day and think about when you can rest, and then you make that date with yourself. So checking in with yourself doesn't mean I'm selfish, I'm going to let the world burn while I give myself the ice cream that my body needs, you know? But just
sometimes I choose that. But
and so you should. I mean, it is ice cream.
Only when I go to the lake.
Exactly. But it is just noticing what you need, so and seeing like, okay, so what can I do so that I can make it as good as possible for myself throughout this day?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I forget to explain that part of it when I throw it around in classes and I'm like, oh, maybe I need to go into that a little bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah. But it does help, right?
Yeah.
Knowing yourself
makes
life a little bit easier.
And for everyone, parent or no parent.
Yeah, for sure.
Pregnant or not pregnant.
Yeah. And for the people around you as well, because I imagine that...
Very true.
Because if you're... And also if you're clear with your boundaries and you say what you need, then it's easier for people to know what to expect. That's something I wanted to ask you as well. Because I'm assuming that it makes it easier for you that Marcella knows what she needs, or at least can that you can ask for what you need, and then for you to say, okay, then I can meet you there, or I can help you with this.
Yeah,
this I will let you do on your own because you're doing great. Or
how do you
feel about that?
Well, Marcella is a special case.
Okay.
Because Marcella
always have been.
We share the same brain, so it's
it.
I don't think we've surprised each other much.
No,
ever. No. So it's very.
It sounds really boring, but it's not.
But it's not. It's actually. It's like this warm bath that you're in a friendship. I think because it's so easy for me to imagine what she might need, so she doesn't have to tell me. But on the other hand, we both do have times where we don't know what we need. And sometimes you're either overstimulated or overexhausted where you have no clue what you need. And then it's really helpful to have someone who knows you well, because then you say, I'm stuck, help. And then the other one usually has a suggestion that's actually really helpful. So I think it's more like the few times where we don't know, where it's unclear, where we maybe...
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's really nice.
Yeah, but I think it's a good point that
it's easier
general,
to help someone
when
they know what they need.
Yeah,
yes.
And they, because that's what Menno and I think. There's a whole episode about it. Menno and I have struggled with that because I wasn't that great at keeping my boundaries or telling what I need. And I got better at that, and that helps him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa.
It's definitely true.
Yeah.
So, I'm really curious what motherhood means to you.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. 'Cause
have you ever thought about it?
About what it means to me?
Yeah.
I think I have thought about what it would look like if I would become a mother, because I chose not to become a mother because it's a very simple reason. I never had that urge, like, I need to be a mom. And I believe that unless you really want to have a child, you probably shouldn't. If you don't have that longing, then probably not the best idea. But sure, I'm sure that if I would have had a baby, I would have loved the baby like crazy. But I think it's nicer to be born into a family that really desperately wants to have you, instead of like, oh, here, okay, I do love you.
Yeah.
But that sounds mean, but that's kind of like, that was my thought process. So I wasn't against having a baby. I always thought, well, if at some point it comes up, then for sure. Never came up. I think I had a week where thought, ooh, that would be, and it was around Harry Potter, and I thought a little Hermione would be really great, you know, kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did think about how motherhood would look like, how would I do that? And for me, I've been sick so much for as long as I've been alive. And I think the fear for one of my child being more sick than I've been, because like allergies in my family, my grandparents had a little bit, my parents had a little bit more, I had more, and I have quite some. So I was like, okay, so what if my baby is born with even more allergies and gets really sick from that? And then there's my asthma, which also in the family, every generation got worse. And I have it, one of the worst cases, I think, in my family. So that was a worry, which kind of shut the door as well. So I imagined, as soon as I started imagining what it would look like, I thought, oh, that's going to be a lot of care and a lot of worry. And what if I'm not fit enough to take care of the baby? Because sometimes I'm not even fit enough to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when I thought about it, I saw the heavy side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was, I think, in my mid-30s, I met Joost and I said, I don't want kids. He's like, great, me neither. And we kept checking in with each other. But yeah, that was it. When I found the partner also who didn't want kids, then I didn't even have to consider it anymore.
Yeah.
But then how I view motherhood for others, I mean, I have the best mom. So that's very much colored my vision of what motherhood is. And I think my mom and I are so close. And she's been like an inspiration for me all my life. I mean, don't get me wrong, we do disagree on stuff and everything, but we are very, very much alike in many things. And she's like the ideal mom in my head. But then I have also friends who are amazing moms. So I think for me, motherhood would mean someone who's got your back. Someone who will always fight for you if you need someone to fight for you, but also will give you the freedom to explore whatever you need or want to explore. And will love you regardless of what comes out of it. Even if you fuck up beyond belief, someone who will still love you and support you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's how I see motherhood. And that's because I've been extremely lucky.
Mm-hmm.
With the mom I have, with the moms I have around me.
True.
I have a really pretty view on what motherhood can be.
Yeah.
I think with that definition, I think I see you as a mother. When, you know, when I think it's a different kind of mothering, but when I think about the idea of having a tribe and a community and, you know, it takes a village to bring up a child, then I always picture, I have a few friends that I can picture and I see them and I see it's a mother, even though they decided not to maybe have kids on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you are a mother in that way, that you're part of the tribe and the mothering clan or however you want to call it. Yeah.
Oh, I love that you say that. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
And I do get to really be be a part of Marcella's boy's life and Marcella's life. And that, I mean, Ghost and I quite often we joke like we don't really like kids. Of course that's not true. We like kids, fine. But I love your babies. Like, it's like this, even when I just think about them, it's like my heart bursts with so much love. So that has been very interesting for me to discover that I could love someone's children this much. And I guess, of course, it helps that I saw them like we called them the little two blobs until they came out. And to be a part of that and to have the anticipation of how they would become as persons, and they're already such personalities. So I never saw that coming, and Yost is like super surprised by it, because I've never been the type to go and ask people if I can, you know, take care of their kids with you. I was like, no, I'm still here. You can ask me. I know they're in daycare, but you know, I can
pick them up. Yeah.
So he's super surprised. And at some point I think he even thought like, so did we do it? Did we get it wrong? Did you want kids? I'm like, no. This is perfect.
Yeah.
This is perfect. Yeah. So I get to be a part of new life in the best possible way, I think. Yeah.
Maybe it's a different stage of your life as well. That
for sure, yes.
Or maybe with all the practice of care, or because I guess your definition of care has evolved also over the last 10, 15, 20 years. And so...
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've been a carer for most... I mean, I didn't work for a long time because I was taking care of grandparents and my dad. And
yeah, but then maybe that's also it, right?
Yeah.
That you had a definition of care that was very specific to a situation.
Yeah.
And now as life, you're in a different season of life, and you have different people around you, and so you get to care in a different way. And that's babies and not grandparents, for example.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love how you said that, you know, the it's not motherhood in the sense of I gave birth to a baby and now I'm taking care of it, but it's all the things you just said, like having... you also mother me. You have my back.
Yeah.
You take care of me. You cheer me when I need it. You help me stay in touch with my body, my boundaries, my whatever. Yeah, so in that way you are a mother to everyone.
Aww.
And Jilly.
Definitely.
And
Jilly. Especially when I just gave her like hell for running out the door. And I was like, go do your great.
Yeah. But that's also an interesting one that not sure if everyone agrees, but the things I've seen you do and feel with Jilly, I know kind of, I've never had pets, so I didn't know what it was like, but now I have kids. And it's basically the same as a pet. No. But in some ways it is, you know? It's,
yeah.
When Jilly hurts, you cry with her because she hurts. And when she, you know...
When she falls down the stairs, I'm traumatized.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when she has a good day, you have a good day too. So in that sense, being a dog mom.
Yeah,
it's also one. Maybe you're even more a mom than we are.
I don't think so. I don't think that's true, but I get what you're saying. I never wanted to be like a dog mom, you know, but because it's a very American thing to say. I'm a dog mom, I think, and us like sober Dutch people, we don't say stuff like that. But yeah, she's my baby for sure, and I would never compare her to a human baby. But she is, like, I think they say a dog reaches the level of a 2-year-old kid, basically, mentally. So, yeah, you're going to have to take care of them.
Yeah.
For as long as they're here.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And you have an attachment to her anyways.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, and that's also what makes it...
Yeah.
I love everyone very much, but it's hard to love someone as much as I love Jilly.
Yeah.
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 Oh. What are your... I'm very curious. And what are the things you're looking forward to the most now that you're pregnant? Is there something that you cannot wait to be here?
To In becoming a mother,
mm-hmm. or in life in general, maybe it changed your perspective on something else. Or,
I mean, I always knew that I really like education. I think is a really important part of what I care about,
mm-hmm.
And not just education as in going to school, but upbringing. Maybe is a better word yeah. for it. So I'm really curious to see how that new season of my life is going to impact how I see interactions with people, and beyond just with a child, obviously, but and all the learning part that is going to happen throughout it. I don't know if that makes sense, but just the learning element of being a mother, and also being in a situation where you have someone who relies on you for learning.
Yeah.
And yeah, and just generally, you know, to read books to a child who's amazed by everything and who's yeah. learning to say words. And oh, that is also an important element. Obviously, we are an international family, you would call mm-hmm. it, right? So we live in Sweden, so there's Swedish. My mother tongue is French, Pablo's mother tongue is Spanish, and we speak English a lot of the time. So that's also an element that I'm really curious to discover, how a child learns.
How will that go?
And I remember I did my master's degree around how children learn languages in different settings, so I'm really interested in seeing how it happens within a family. I would say right now I'm very much obsessed with how it's going to be, how that relationship is going to be. I'm really curious about that, and like having a human that I don't know.
Yeah.
That is also a bit scary think, okay, is it going to be a very extroverted kid and I'm a very introverted mother, and how is that going to work? Mm-hmm. And, or like all these. But mostly very curious about all of this. Yeah.
How was it? Do you remember how it was for you when you were pregnant? What you were most curious about or most excited about?
I remember that you asked me this question, but I don't remember my answer. But I think that it might have something to do with what was my first answer to your question, what's the best part about being a mother? And that was their... Or maybe their smell. I guess I probably said smell.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Because just newborn babies smell the best. Have the best smell. And but also their giggles, like their sounds. This morning, it was not that early, actually. It was 6:15, which was a very good...
It's a decent time.
Yeah, it was a very good time to wake up. And this time it was one of the twins that's usually not the first to wake up,
mm-hmm.
and he makes the cutest I cannot even reproduce what he does, but it's super cute. And Meno and I both woke up and we said, this is so cute, I can wake up to this every day.
That's the best way to wake up, I think. To cute sounds like that.
I think I probably would have said something like that. And I didn't, and maybe I did know, but I wasn't so aware that I really like everything that has to do with the senses. So feeling there, I like babies without clothes, which sounds so...
It's your own babies. I think that's okay.
Yeah, my own babies.
They were in your own
not
babies.
Not other people's
yeah.
babies.
Yeah. I know it sounds a little weird, but the feeling, smelling, hearing, everything has to do with the senses, really. Yeah, that's so nice.
I'm
seeing them, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that as well. And baby cuddles.
Yeah, baby cuddles.
Like, especially for me, the clearest element right now, the clearest moment, is probably just like the first month, because mm-hmm. I'm not going to have a tiny baby and I have an idea of how I want this to go, or like what I'm curious about.
I still have a question for you, Ellie, or maybe two. Because you talked about that this is such a weird transition. Maybe there's several transitions like that in life, but You are a mother because there's growing something inside your belly, but you have no clue what it will be like when the baby's outside of your body. And I believe they call this transition matrescence.
Yes.
Have you heard about that? So in this weird period of transitioning into something you don't really know what will truly be, what's the hardest part and what's the most... the best part about that transition?
The hardest part for me is probably the worries about... there's this tiny voice that still says, will this really happen? Is this really happening to me? Am I really becoming a mother? Maybe something can go wrong. And I think that's the hardest part, is like trying to let this tiny voice be in the back and not take too much space. Because I think until, even though I feel, like I said before, trusting and confident in all of this, and until the baby's out, we don't know.
You don't know.
And at the same time, and like, after that, it's going to be a life of probably worrying about things I cannot control also. So I'm trying to, just navigate that worry. But what was your other question?
What's the best part about the transition?
I think because it's been something that I've known I've wanted for so long, that it's... that I'm finally getting there is just the most exciting thing ever. And I'm really, I'm so happy that I get to take on a new identity also, and that I get to discover what it means for me to be a mother and how it's gonna shape. And also another thing is going through it with Pablo. I think he's gonna be an amazing dad, and yeah, he's very excited, and I feel like we have... the pregnancy has had a really good effect, or like really positive effect on our relationship, and we prioritize each other a lot more than we had in the last maybe few years, because now we've been together for 8 years. So obviously you get into routines and habits and everything, but I feel like we're rediscovering each other and asking each other questions that we would not ask necessarily in other settings, and we have time for each other because we both really want this, and so that's also really amazing. I feel really lucky to have him also.
It's really good to have a partner who is on the same page, like just as you said, Biddy.
It
makes such a difference when and I totally respect everyone who goes through it alone, either by choice or voluntarily. Because it's so much, or to me, it's much easier to go through it together. And that it goes for your tribe. Like, it's it's Menno, my partner, but it's also the people around me, like you, Biddy, like my parents, like my parents' in-law, my, you know, other friends that are always there. Another thing I've learned, you really need that tribe.
Or
I need that tribe.
I think from what I understand, it sounds like it's true for for most families. I would say, no matter what your family looks like.
I think it's also, we talked about luck this morning, Ellie and I, about finding the right partner. It's a definitely a big element of luck whether or not you find each other. And I think it's also the same with how your relationship changes when you go through big changes. That can be pregnancy, it can be, I don't know, the loss of a parent or change of career, like the big things that happen in your life, how that affects your relationship and how you see your partner and your partner sees you. I think that's also a little bit of luck. Right? That you can find each other in those new situations time and time again. And that's so not a given. So it's so wonderful to hear that for both of you, that it's been good, right? That you found maybe even a newer level in your relationship because of the changes. Because I can imagine if that doesn't happen, it can feel extremely lonely, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And for us, talking and talking even more and talking a little bit extra really is the key. But we sometimes don't find each other in discussions, and I can imagine if that never happens, then
yeah,
that would be difficult.
It might feel
that'd be really rough.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your relationship has changed a lot since you became parents?
I recognize that it really changed in the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
For the better, really. Like, okay, so confession. What I liked best about being pregnant is that everyone takes care of you.
Yes.
And Menno did as well. So. Oh, I just loved how you were. I never needed an excuse to rest or to want something. I was pregnant, so whatever I wanted, like you said before, right? I was given. And Menno did that as well. He was, he wanted to surprise me. He wanted to do everything for the babies. He made their co-sleeper bed because, it's twins and there's not much co-sleepers that fit in our bedroom. So he made that, and he was the best birth partner I could have imagined. We practiced and we prepared a lot, but he was really the best during contractions, waving because I was too hot, and then at the same time fixing. I had this thing, a tense thing that gives electric shocks to your back, which sounds mm-hmm. weird, but helps with pain. And he fixed that because it broke, and he talked to the nurses, and he did everything. So, yeah, he was... That, yeah, I think it changed for the better because he focused on me, and I really liked that. and after, it gets hard because you're both sleep deprived, and then you go into your own patterns, and then he goes into his own patterns, and that's usually the parts where we don't like each other. And to still love each other through that, and to still try to make it work together. That sounds harder than I feel like it is for us, but it gives it a deeper level, I guess. And to have two babies that you share, that is yours, you both made them.
And it's so obvious that you
and
both
it's so
made
obvious
them.
That, yeah.
Because there's like little Menno and there's a little Marcella there.
Yeah, in both of them. So
yeah
that's something you cannot even describe what it's like, because it's just a week ago we went to the wellness for a night and 2 days together without the twins, and then we talk a lot about our kids, because they're not there, but we still talk about them. And to have that topic is it gives something to your relationship, that you have a shared project that's, I've helped Menno with his work, he's helped me with mine, but it's not the same because it's either my work or his work. Yeah. And now it's our project, it's our kids. We need to keep them alive and give the best life to them. So, I guess that, also sometimes makes it a little bit too practical, our relationship. So it's a lot about, when are you going to pick up the kids? Okay, so I will make dinner by then. And but at the same time, you're building a family.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, this is actually a question for both of you, do you think you have the same idea on how to raise your kids?
Nope.
I kind of knew your answer, but I thought I'd ask the question.
Like in terms of how in the relationship we want to
Do you view raising your kids the same, or is there already
yes and no. I think in terms of values there's a huge very strong core.
Yes.
And in terms of the practicalities, I think there's a bit of differences.
Yeah.
But even I don't know if I could put words into it because it's still super early, and I guess we will find out. And I think, but I would say for the most important things, I think we have the same idea. But
I love how you make the distinction, like values and practicality, because I do think that as long as the values find enough overlap, you're going to figure it out every time and again.
I think
right?
I wouldn't have made babies with Menno if
we
you know,
didn't share
that if yet. There wasn't something there, then I thought, yeah, he will, yeah. He will be a good dad.
Yeah.
There's something about his way, his approach that fits mine. Yeah.
So, that's true. In what ways do you differ?
Hi, Jilly. For everyone hearing something in the background,
pitter patter.
I think the most obvious thing right now is that I don't want them to cry. So whenever they're crying, I'm trying to stop it. Or, you know, sometimes I need to pee and then I'll go pee and leave them. And, you know, I'm not, like I said, I'm very good at taking care of myself first. But when I've done that, then my priority is, you know, getting them as comfortable as they can be. And Menno is more like, but it's okay to cry, you know? You don't have to stop crying. So I will be there with you. I will not leave you alone, but I will not active, not always, because of course he does that, but not right away, try to fix it.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's the most obvious that we come across almost every day. Yeah, but I think when we talk about these things, it might sound like we have different approaches, but I guess when push comes to shove, we do things basically the same.
Mm.
Yeah,
it makes sense. Like you say, if that weren't the case, then
Menno doesn't believe this, but I do believe that it's also a little bit hormonal. So. Mm. It's just an urge I cannot turn off. I need to be there for my babies. And I want them to feel okay.
Doesn't it also maybe come a little bit, because, I mean, you're an applied psychologist. You know how important it is, especially in these early times, that babies feel supported, seen, and held.
Yeah, that their nervous system is not...
Yes, they need the co-regulation.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Because they cannot do it themselves yet.
Yeah.
Doesn't that also...
Yeah, true.
Right? Because to me, it makes total sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's more like the science behind it a little bit, I think, as well. Like, I'm sure it's also hormones, but I think it's also just knowing what you know and what the longer-term effects can be of being... left crying. And even I think it helps that he's there, right? Just knowing, because he does make an excellent point, right? It's really important to learn that it's okay to cry
but to me we can learn that later, you know.
I was gonna say,
I understand
what emotions
you can
are
explain,
maybe it's a bit early to teach them about emotions, especially because I mean, no, they will learn anyways along the way, but maybe right now it's not really about emotions. It's more about basic needs.
Yeah,
because
true.
That's their way of communicating. Yeah. So I guess it's a bit different at this stage.
That's true.
So Menno, if you're listening.
Later. Just a little bit later. You said you had another question for Ellie.
No, it was the two.
Okay, yes.
The best part and the worst, or the hardest part.
I had one more question for you also that popped up, but I'm not really sure how to phrase it. It's just because we talked about how in a relationship you need kind of a project in a way, and you said, oh, the kids now are, it's our project, Marcella, with a big P probably. But I wonder how you feel about that, because that's very much in the way that society thinks, that if you don't have the big project with a big P, you don't become parents, then, you know, you might
feel... What do you have?
Yeah, exactly. And you don't... Also, we talked about this morning. People might think that you don't have a family.
Yes.
You just have a partner.
Interesting. Yeah.
So how do you... Well, there's one question that is, how do you navigate that based on the fact that, you know, society is going to be pushing or has been pushing this on you, probably, that you need the... big project with a big P.
Yeah.
And also, how have you navigated, you know, the fact that you have different projects and not the kid project with your partner?
Oh, I like this question.
Yeah, me too.
I think navigating it now, being postmenopausal, I was telling Ellie this morning or earlier this week, it's a lot easier because I'm getting to the point where I really do not care what people think, what people say. I mean, I will care what my friends say, what my family says. I will never try to harm anyone. But people's opinions about how my life should be, they don't really bother me as much as they might have last decades, say. And even then, I was pretty good at pretending I didn't care, but obviously, you know, it kind of gnaws in the back of your head. And I think for Joost and myself, we found that, and I think both of you know this, and I think even the people listening might know this, that for us, it's very important that we have our own projects. And we really love supporting each other. So I think for me, in my relationship with Joost, my biggest thing is I want to support him in whatever he wants. And whether that's getting on a bike and drive to Mongolia for 3 months, which will happen this year, or whether it's, you know, building this amazing tool that he made and designed, which I will put in the link. If you're a motorcycle driver, you need one of Joost's bar buttons, because he's super smart and makes amazing things. So for us, I think supporting each other in doing what we love, that makes us happy, I think. Let's talk just for myself. That makes me happy. It makes me really happy to see him do the things that he likes. And we have Jilly. You talk about your kids when it's just you. When Jilly's over at my mom, Joost and I sit at the table like,
I wonder what she's doing.
I think she ate. It's kind of quiet without her. That's what we talk about. So I do think Jilly maybe felt part of what other people would have when they talk about their kids. We have that with Jilly. And I've been lucky. I don't think a lot of people have told me that I should have kids or why I didn't have kids. The people that do ask, I kind of chew their head off always, because how the hell do you know that I don't desperately want them and can't have them? I think it's an extremely rude question.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what kind of hurt you're opening up. But I think also having to kind of, I want to say fight, but that makes it sound really a lot harder than it maybe has been at times. But to find a life that I was comfortable in living took a lot of work. Like, I took a lot of jobs. I lived in a lot of, I moved 17 times in like 15 years. It's insane. Had a lot of relationships that were really great people, but it never worked out. And that was all because there was this unrest in me, because I hadn't found what I wanted to do. So then to find the right person, the right city, the right job, the right friends, that has been so beautiful for me, to finally find that I'm living the life that I love and that I've been, I think, subconsciously searching for. I didn't feel like I was actively searching, but now having found it and noticing the calm that I have, that brings me so much. And that's in a big part because of Joost's support, because without Joost, this would never have happened. Because he was there when I got my burnout. He was next to me when my dad got sick and died. And he was there to help me pick up the pieces after that, which was, yeah, going through that together, I think basically just life has been our project.
Wow.
And it's been really challenging at times, and we're still here, and we're still supporting each other, and we're each other's biggest cheerleaders, I think, because we're so proud of each other. Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
Life is our project.
Yes, that's very wise also. And I'm so glad you're saying all of that, because I think I can think of a few friends who are maybe around the age where they're supposed to maybe be having kids.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to send this.
What
you just said, because I think that's amazing. That it's not just anything else can be a project with a baby.
And
life can just... Life is good enough. Life is a project in
itself. Is this a point to stop?
Or do I think so.
I'm sure we could talk for days.
Yeah, me too.
But I think this might be a nice ending.
Yeah.
So thank you for asking questions, for sharing stories.
Thank you.
And of course, anyone who's new here, go listen to the other episodes with Marcella and with Ellie. There's a lot of them to find. And let us know what you think and your experiences.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions where you were waiting for us to ask something and you really want to know, just maybe drop it in the comments, mm-hmm. and then maybe we'll revisit them.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's many more perspectives. Cause
yes. Oh, yes.
If we need to conclude, I think you cannot pinpoint motherhood or fatherhood or parenthood, whatever, hood.
Just the hood.
Yeah, because, you know, everyone has a different take on it, and you might have similar experiences to some, but yeah, you do you. You
yes.
choose you.
Because you're freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Show Up and Surrender, the podcast about life made with love for you by Biddy. Music by Alex Stoner through Take Jones. Thank you for listening. Until next time.